Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dear Abby. I'm your host. My name is Abby. Welcome back to your favorite uplifting, comforting, cozy podcast. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a pretty good weekend. I mostly just went to the beach and we started to play tennis again. I grew up playing tennis my whole life. Every Saturday growing up, well, not every Saturday, but a lot of Saturdays growing up, at least two times a month, we would go play tennis early in the morning on Saturday morning with my dad. And we would take my brothers or my sister, or basically we would just wake everybody up at 6 or 7 and be like, hey, do you want to come play tennis? And they'd either say yes or no. And if they said yes, it was like you had to go keep telling them to get up and get ready because they were sleepy and they didn't get up and get ready. But you're like, we got to go play now before it gets burning hot because I lived in Arizona. So that was always a fun experience. And it's just a nostalgic sport for me now. I played it in high school a little bit. And so every time I play, I just feel like I'm at home and it makes me miss my family. And I wish I could just hang out with all my siblings and all of us play tennis together again. It's kind of like those meme videos. I don't know if it's a meme video. I don't know what meme videos are, but there's a caption on the top and it's a video. Is that a meme video? I don't know. But the caption says, me, if I catching this bus meant I could see my siblings every day growing up again or something like that. And then he's chasing this bus and he's like freaking out and he's going really fast and he jumps. And he starts punching in the train. He starts punching the train window, trying to break the freaking train window. He's just very intense about it. And that's sometimes how I feel. I had a blast because I went with my husband and I've kind of taught him how to play tennis a little bit. And so it feels like a full circle. Like I want to continue the tradition and teach my kids how to play tennis and take them on Saturdays for fun. I'm already trying to practice patience because I know rallying and playing will not be super fun with young kids. So I don't know how my dad did that, but I have to learn from him. So it was fun. And at the same time, it was not fun because sometimes, even if you have dedicated weekends and countless hours trying to perfect a serve, and then somebody, particularly a man, comes in, freaking grabs a racket for the first time, hits, and is somehow hitting it perfect. And his form isn't even that good. It's not cool looking form. It's just like he's somehow getting it right over the net, somehow hard and somehow right on a line, like a trick shot all the time, because it's like he doesn't really know how to hit it. So sometimes he has like insane trick shots and isn't trying to do trick shots. And that makes me mad. It's so bad because I never thought I was competitive, but then I'm realizing because Kian is so not competitive that I am competitive, because even when we play board games, if he's winning too much, I'm like, I'm kind of mad at you now. Like, and then if he's boasting or like, hey, I won, kind of makes me mad at him, which is so toxic. And I'm working on not actually being mad and just like shutting my ego down and being like, yes, he outsmarted you and that's okay. He outsmarted you and that is okay. It doesn't mean you're a dumb idiot. It just means he outsmarted you in this game and that's okay. It also means in tennis, maybe I've been playing my whole life and he's been playing like a couple times that I've trained him, and maybe I'm just a really good trainer or teacher. So maybe it's actually an ode to me and my skill that he is already almost advanced. But I did beat him multiple times and he beat me. So it's fun. It's actually really fun because it's just fun gameplay. Sometimes when someone's not competitive, it's hard for me to believe that. Maybe it's because I grew up with so many siblings that I enjoy being competitive, and it makes it like I don't want to just play to play. Like I want to play to win. I want to play to do really good and be impressed and possibly impress other people. So maybe it's deeper. Maybe that's something I'm realizing now. And Keaton is so not like that. And I have to learn from him. I really was thinking about this when we were playing, because he like would miss and he's like, oh, dang, I'll get him next time. And I'm like, if I miss, I'm like, oh, I am an idiot. I don't even deserve to hold this racket. I'm shut down emotionally, physically. I can't talk. I go mute. I cannot speak. and I'm trying not to be. And so I'm trying to like just get back to normal and be like, it's not a big deal. You just missed. It was a bad hit. And like, or he got a good hit and he got you. Like, it's just, that's all it is. It's not deeper than that. That's all it is. It's just fun. Let's just have fun. All in all, it was very fun and eye-opening that I am competitive and he is not. And I need to learn from him how to just be like, yeah, I lost. Good luck. Better luck. Better luck to me next time. So yeah, that's basically all I did this weekend. And as far as like my mental health update goes, so now I'll do a couple mental health updates and then we'll get into the meat of today's episode, which is taking responsibility for your life and also creatively. So as someone who really likes to create and who likes art and all that stuff and likes that world, which I think everyone is a creative, it just depends on how that is, how you like to express it and how that kind of flows out. But there's just a lot of things that get in the way of our creativity. And I think that is such a vital and I think that is such an important aspect of your life and of your fulfillment and joy in life. So if you're not prioritizing making time for that or taking, you know, responsibility for your own life in that way and your own creativity, then you can't really get mad at anyone. You can really only face yourself and recognize maybe you're not putting in the work that, or maybe you're not putting in the effort, or maybe you're not being honest with yourself about how hard you're trying to do something. Or, you know, sometimes we can have a little bit of a victim mentality because that's just what we're used to. So it can take some work to get out of that and to feel comfortable not playing victim to like our life circumstance or something. So I want to talk a little bit about that and then we'll do a DRB and then that'll be it for today's episode. I feel like I'm starting to burn out of my job. I realized I still brought work home and I still brought my work home, my to-do list at work home with me. And I think that is just causing unnecessary anxiety and stress and worry that I don't need to have because I'm not going to work when I'm home. So there's literally no reason why I would need to be thinking about anything to do with work while I'm home. That is a very important boundary that I'm learning to make because it affects my mental health a ton and it just affects my overall enjoyment in life. And that obviously contributes to your mental. So, and vice versa, I don't know, it's all intermingled. So I've been doing okay and I am taking more responsibility, which is the theme of today's episode, for taking home any worry that I don't need to and actually letting all that go the second I walk through the door. I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to think of a way to physically or have it be a routine thing and work something into my routine. Like even if it's before I walk into my apartment after work to just stop, sit outside for a second, take a couple of deep breaths and ground myself, like do some grounding techniques, consciously decide to let every worry go at work. Even if it feels like I need to solve all of these things right now and I need to figure it out because what if they want to give you more money? And so if you work a little bit harder, they'll give that to you. And what if you get it, blah, blah, blah. There's all of these things that's like, well, what if you're not doing enough? Like stuff like that, that makes you feel like what you're doing is never enough is just not good and not helpful, never will be. So I am really working on not letting that dictate how I feel when I get home. And so I think that can apply to anything. If you feel like you're taking stuff home and you're still worrying about stuff that you don't need to be worrying about, to start to loosen that attachment to that worry or that fear of the what ifs type of a thing. So as far as my OCD and anxiety go, I have felt a lot of physical anxiety, like heart palpitations, stuff like that. I honestly might go get my heart checked once. And then if they say I'm good, I'm not going to freak out about it anymore. But I think because I've been stressed at work, it's like having an actual physical effect and I'm like feeling inflamed and all of this stuff is starting to now affect my mental health. And I start to feel a little bit foggy and a little bit heavier and mentally just kind of like numb. I feel like there's nothing, like when I listen to things that I normally enjoy, when I do something I normally enjoy, now it feels like a flatline, like I have a mental flatline happening. So I think I'm starting to sense some depressive feelings, and it's something that I normally have to keep watch over. It's also just hard at this age and in this life with everything that we have to stay above that sometimes. So I refuse to shame myself or make myself feel bad. And I want to take responsibility for things that I'm doing to make it worse and change those, because there are things that I know I'm doing that's definitely not helping. And so might as well just try to help myself. And some of those are actually just to do and think less. So it's kind of nice, but it's also kind of hard to do that. So the meat of today's episode is taking responsibility for your life and your creative outlets, your creative projects, adventures that you're going on. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because I am the biggest procrastinator when it comes to my creative endeavors. I think my podcast is the one thing that I actually really committed to and just didn't overthink it and just did it and didn't wait till everything was perfect. And I've started to figure out how to do things on the way, and it's still not perfect, and there's a lot that I want to do still. And I start to get discouraged if my art isn't being consumed the way that I would, that I thought I wanted it to be consumed, if that makes sense. I sometimes get confused, which I think happens to a lot of artists or creatives. At first you create because you love to create, and then maybe you get some positive feedback on your creations and people really like it, and so it fuels you and you feel good. And then you start to maybe rely on those a little bit, in the sense that once you maybe stop getting as much validation or as much outreach or consumption of something, then you start to get insecure about your art or insecure about whatever you're creating and putting out there. That's very common, and it's hard because it does feel like you are showing a part of yourself, and if people don't like it, then they're like, then you're scared they don't like you, and what does that say about you? It's important, if that's where you're at, where you're starting to not want to create because you feel like you have to have people like it for it to be worth your time. And that's so not the case. That is not what you create for, is just for other people to consume and to rate it. Your creative endeavors, your way of expression, your way of showing what you feel inside, what you are inside, is not for anybody else to deem it good enough or not. And also, it's not for anybody else to say that you should keep making something or stop making something. If you enjoy doing something, then just keep doing it. Obviously, as more of like a realistic head on my shoulders, I know you do have to make money and you have to like provide food and shelter for your family and stuff like that. So sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do, and you have to have creative endeavors that maybe other people do say, I like this, I don't like this, and you have to listen, and that's okay too. You don't have to like feel like you're failing as an artist if that's the case. Just maybe think of ways that you can create things that you really want to create without it being rated by somebody or without it being liked or disliked by somebody, because it's good to learn how to take constructive criticism or constructive feedback on maybe things that you are trying to share with other people that is for consumption. So that's okay. And it's a good thing to separate that type of creative outlet, or not outlet, that kind of creative endeavor or project with ones that are just full expression of who you are and of being, and to get stuff off your chest and to feel connected to yourself and to feel excited about life and to feel like you're part of something, and you know, all of those beautiful things. So anyways, if you're at a point where you feel like now you don't want to create because you feel like it's been tainted, you can use some mindfulness work. And sometimes that's just trying to figure out what your belief is about your creative endeavors or your art or your business or whatever it is. Because you might find that maybe the belief underneath you not wanting to even start trying this new project that you've been wanting to work on, or maybe you've been wanting to try streaming even like as a creative outlet or do something that's more of a community-based thing, but you feel like you shun in and you feel like you're too scared to, because what if it doesn't do well? And so maybe the belief behind that is, if my art or if my project, if my business doesn't do well in the first 6 months, then it's a waste of time and I'm never going to find out and I'm never going to be successful. Because sometimes we just believe, we have really limiting beliefs. I definitely have had very limiting beliefs about myself and what kind of a life I can live. I always believed that I was just gonna have chronic anxiety and intrusive thoughts that controlled me my whole life. And with that came a lot of other limiting beliefs. Like one of them was, I will never create something or do something that is amazing. And I genuinely believed that. I was like, I am just an average girly, and not that there's anything wrong with being average, but I think all of us are so unique and special and can provide something only you can provide. That is unique and that is amazing. So you don't have to be this insanely different thing, but you are extremely unique. You're the only you. So you have that to give to the world. And don't listen to any thoughts that say otherwise, because sometimes if you have just been limiting yourself and believe such negative things about yourself, sometimes even when someone says that and tries to help you feel like you have a lot of potential, there's like immediate thoughts of like, no, that's stupid. Like, I don't need to believe that. Nah, that's so dumb. You know, all these thoughts come back and try to almost defend you and say, no, we can't do anything cool, but our life isn't going to look like that. It's like, it can though. And sometimes if you're closing your mind to that and you're closing your heart to that, you can't receive anything better because you're just stuck in your ways, stuck in those limiting beliefs. And it doesn't matter how long you have thought a belief about yourself or you have limited your life in some capacity, you can always change that. You can always reconstruct that belief and you can always start believing in yourself. And so no one is like too stuck. Or no one is too far gone and they can't believe it anymore. They can't, you know, change the way that they think. It's hard work sometimes, and it's a lot of practice and it's a lot of awareness. And it takes a lot of courage, but it is worth it 10 out of 10 times. So with all that being said, it is very important to be able to express yourself and to also be able to be excited about something that you're creating or that you're doing and an investment that you're making in yourself. I think that's something that my husband has really taught me, is to invest in myself. I'm really bad at investing, as in I've never really given it time and thought. So I can't be good really because I've never really put time and effort into it. But something that he taught me was how important it is to invest in yourself. You don't always have to invest in a business or in this and that. But if you invest time and effort and money into yourself, it can be hard to take that leap sometimes if that means switching up your lifestyle or switching up what you're doing or even your career. That's a really scary thing to do. So it might take some time and some courage. But I think the point is, it's your responsibility. Not anybody. It's the same thing with if you're struggling mentally, or it's the same thing if you have things in your life that you know you need to do and you're not doing. No one else is going to do that for you and gift you that. No one else is going to do that for you. So it's very important that if you want to be an artist, if you want to be a writer, no one's going to write for you to do that. You, the conscious person that is listening, you are the one that has to make that decision. If that is something that we want to do, we are the ones that have to actually do it, obviously. It sounds obvious, and I also know that for me, I kind of forget that because sometimes I want to get better at my painting, but then I never take time to paint. And so it's like, well, what do you expect? Like, do you expect somehow you're just gonna be magically better at painting without going through the pain of being bad at the beginning, or like going through a phase where it feels complacent or it feels like I'm just staying the same? Because that's kind of how I felt. I was like, I feel like I've hit a point and I've gotten good at sketching and I'm pretty good at it, but I don't know how to get past this like line. But nobody's going to get past that line for me. I have to be the one that gets past that line. And it's our responsibility and your own responsibility, I mean, to stop consuming more than you're creating. If you want to create, then stop consuming so much. And I can totally procrastinate by watching YouTube videos of how to do something. I can procrastinate so much because it feels like I'm doing something when I'm watching all those videos of how to do this perfectly and what to do and what not to do and blah, blah, blah. I feel like I'm getting something out of it, but I could watch all of those and not be any better at painting or sketching or whatever. This is a common human thing. We want to do something and we're like, yeah, we're serious about it, but then we don't actually ever do anything about it. And I don't think that's something to use to shame yourself into changing. I think it's something that we have to really dig deep in ourselves and also just learn how to turn off distractions, like really detox from the dopamine thing where you have to watch a bunch of videos. If you get home, if you go in the bathroom, that's the number one place if you're wanting to consume less. Just don't go on the phone if you're using the restroom. When you're consuming that much information, I feel like it starts to kill your creativity, because now you're using because now your brain is going to use that information, those analytics. How did this video do? How did this thing do? How did this art piece do? And it starts to compare it to your creations, what yours is doing. And if you're not in an analytical mode, as in you're purposefully researching this and you've already told yourself, I'm not going to compare and this is not my worth. This is not like showing me that they're more worthy or they're better than me and whatever. That's not about that. If you're in that mindset, then awesome. If you want to look at analytics, if you want to analyze all that stuff. But if you're just trying to enjoy and you have some time alone, some time to decompress, it's not helpful to spend that time scrolling or consuming too much. Like, for example, I would love to live on a homestead someday. And so I'll watch a lot of videos on homesteading, and I'll watch someone homestead and I'll like think I'm learning a lot. And sometimes I do learn like random things, but I don't really retain information that well doing that. I retain information by physically doing it. So instead of watching YouTube videos of like how to grow stuff, I need to actually just go buy seeds, make a little trellis, and start to just grow one thing at a time, because I'm going to learn more that way for me personally than watching a bunch of videos. Some people might learn that way though. Some people might be so good at retaining information. I need to like learn the information. I need to be doing it. I'm more hands-on, you know, without distractions by myself. That's how I learn. So I guess that is part of it, is how do you learn? And once you have that, then that's how you should be learning. And that's okay if it's different than other people. If you have a dream and if you have something that you want to work towards and you think would be cool, and it might not have to be a huge thing that changes the world or something, it could just be something small. That's not small, because your life is precious and your soul matters, and how your soul feels filled and alive matters. And you can invest in that, and that's a good thing to invest in. And it is your responsibility. You have the power to do that, basically. You have the power to transform your life in whatever way, or to dedicate more time and mental, emotional energy to something. Because again, nobody is going to come do it for you. And nobody is going to come build your business for you. Nobody is going to come help you. No one is going to come write for you. And then somehow it's going to magically make you a better writer. It's just something that you have to do. So the time wasted on consuming other things, hoping that that's going to somehow magically fix the problem of actually having to do something, is obviously not going to work. So, okay, that is all. And I'm saying this as somebody who does that all the time, and who admittingly finds it really hard to detox from like the dopamine thing, or feeling like you're doing something if you're consuming something. And as someone who's had times where I really locked in, where I really took it seriously and I took responsibility for my own creativity, and I was the happiest I ever was in my life. And then I now work a lot in something that's like a little bit different than what I wanted to do for now. And so it's hard to balance that. So you get kind of thrown off that good habit, those habits that you have. So it's just working on how to do it now and how to like figure out a way to do what you really want. And all this is very possible. And it's just like, and when I talk about it, maybe it sounds like it's going to be fast and it's all going to happen at once. But it really is like a slow process of change. But that one decision, that's an instant decision. That's an instant quick decision of, should I watch these reels? Should I not do it? That's an instant decision that you could do today, tomorrow, whenever. So those are quick decisions. But in the long run, it does take a long time to become a master of something. Well, that's it for that. Let's get into a Dear Abby, and then we will end today's episode. Hi, Abby. I love your podcast. I have OCD myself, and I'm dealing with a lot of issues finding the right medication, like trial and error with several different medications and dealing with side effects. Could you do an episode about your journey and finding the right medicine and how you dealt with it? Oh, this is a hard one because I am obviously not a professional at all. I don't understand a lot of medications or anything, and it's something that I had a hard time with. So I wish I had more information and more helpful insight, but what I can help with is maybe how to mentally prepare for when you're going through different medications. There's a couple of things. I think I'll just say two or three things. The first thing is it's okay to take a break from trying to find a medication if it's become too overwhelming. I had to take maybe two breaks within a couple of years of like, okay, you know what? None of these are working. I'm just going to take a break. Like, I don't want to go to any more doctor's appointments. I don't want to do any more checkups or like, you know, 6 week, 8 week visit, whatever. This isn't working. I'm going to wean off this. And then I don't want to try another one for a long time. And that was really helpful because I didn't feel so much pressure to like have it all figured out, which kind of leads me to the second piece of advice would be have a really clear understanding of what you're trying to get at. Because sometimes if you're just going on medication, just because you're like, I don't feel good, so I need to go on medication, it can be not as helpful. And the psychiatrist might have a hard time figuring out what they should give you. Be very specific of what you want to be fixed with your medication. And it's okay if, and that might take a while to understand yourself and understand what you want out of medication. But if you have a list of things, that's really helpful for your psychiatrist, from what I understand, if they're, you know, if they really actually want to know what's going to be helpful. They ask a lot of questions, but it's good to be like, hey, I'm coming to you and I'm paying this money. This is what I want out of medication. This is like the issues that I'm having, and they can help you with that, or, you know, a loved one or a therapist, if you're working with a therapist who can help you with that. But have it be very specific. So that way also when you're taking the medication, you know what you're looking for to see if it's solved for any of that. So that can be really helpful because it gives you a direction. Sometimes when you're trying to take medication and you have no direction, that's what makes it feel so like a roller coaster and like up and down and so confusing and nothing feels right. I can't tell if this is helping. Like it's because sometimes we don't have like a clear direction of what we want out of the medication. Instead of just like, I want to feel better. Like that's like the how we feel overall. But sometimes you have to get into the nitty gritty of, okay, when I wake up, I have a pit in my stomach. Doesn't go away all day. How can I get rid of that? How can I help myself feel better in that way? Or I have a lot of brain fog sometimes in conversation. I can't think of what I want to say. And then that makes me feel anxious. Like, just be really specific. And then I think the last thing is, for me, it was really important to be prayerful. Or if, you know, you don't believe in God or you don't practice anything like that, if you're just being intuitive about it and really paying attention to how you feel with certain psychiatrists, if a psychiatrist really understands you and understands what's happening, sometimes that can be just a good, helpful, just like instinctual thing. But for me, I like to be very prayerful about it because that way, whatever happened, it made me experience everything in a more positive note. And even if things got really hard, I felt like I had support. And also, it was really important for me to cry a lot when I was going through my medication process. Like, it's a really hard thing to go through because it's scary. You're putting things in your body. You're doing things that are affecting like your experience in your body, which can be really scary. So that's a very real fear, and that's a very real scary feeling. That doesn't equal that like these medications are going to, you know, do some horrible damage, but it's that fear is probably coming up, and that feels very scary and that's uncomfortable. So it's okay, and it's good to cry and release it and, you know, feel all of the feels with that, because it is very overwhelming and it is your body. So sometimes it just doesn't feel good that you need this extra support. That's a journey to try to get you know, come to terms with or at least try to feel better about. So I think those are the main things that come to mind. I hope that's helpful. Yeah, let me know how that goes. It's okay to not have it all figured out right now. When you're not journaling about it, when you're not in a call about it, when you're not prepping for a call about medication or something, try your best. I know it's hard, but try your best to really be compassionate to yourself and your body and be like, it's okay if I need some extra help. Okay, I can get extra help. That might feel really good. That might be really good for me. It's not all, you know, so bad and scary. And also try your best not to worry and overthink and analyze everything that you're feeling and thinking and stuff like that when you're not actively doing something like journaling your symptoms or something like that. So, which I know is hard to do from someone who tried a bunch of medications. It's really hard to do that if you're anxious about medications or you're just having a hard time with it. But I think you can work on kind of bringing that worry and that extra overthinking down as much as possible and just letting those thoughts like run their course. Be like, okay, I know I'm anxious about this, but I'm just going to sit with myself and like we're just going to try to handle this the best that I can. Okay, that's it for today's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dear Abby. I need more Dear Abby submissions. So if you have a Dear Abby question, please, please text or call the number in the description below and leave a Dear Abby voicemail or text message and you'll be on the next episode or in the next couple of episodes. If you want to support the podcast, I would really appreciate it. You can share on your story. You can like, subscribe, comment on YouTube, as well as leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. That would be much appreciated. I hope you guys have a beautiful, wonderful weekend. Take yourself out, do something fun. You know what it be. Okay, love you guys. Bye. Ooh, heads on taking a ride to join it late. 눈치 보면서 들어가야 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개 설레임 바꾸는 사람.